Okay, we have to now begin to understand all that we've been talking about. Okay. To understand what we've been talking about in light of the Kedushas Hazman, in light of the Yontif of Purim, and Shabbos Zohar, Mechias Amalek. It's obvious, and we've spoken about this many times, that Zelu Mazel Soha Lokim, that this world was created in such a way that if everything that exists in holiness, there's a force that exists kinegdo, that's opposed to that, in tumen and purity. And therefore, if Malchus Shamayim, and all that we've been talking about, the union of Malchus, these past few weeks, and Shabbos, and Hadlokas Ner Shabbos, the Shabbos candle, if that exists in Kedusha, so then the Malchus of Amalek, the kingdom of Amalek, is that which stands opposed to the Malchus Shamayim. The kingdom of Amalek is the counterforce, is opposed to the Kedusha, the holiness of the Malchus, of Shabbos, of the Jewish woman, of lighting Shabbos candles, and so on. So we need to understand, how does Amalek fight against the revelation of Malchus Shammai and all that we've been talking about? There's an episode in Tanakh that we're going to read soon, the Naftara. The Maisa with Shaul HaMelech, Shmuel HaNavi, and Agag, and the failure of Shaul to completely eradicate Amalek. And the Pasuk tells us the last words that Shmuel HaNavi said to Agag, to the king of Amalek, before he cut his head off. Kasher shikla noshim charbecha, kein tishkal mi noshim imecha. The same way that women have become widows as a result of your sword, have lost, so too, kein tishkal mi noshim imecha, so too your mother is now going to be basically out of a son. Those were the last words, and then Shmuel, Vayishasev Shmuel, then decapitated Agag, the king of Amalek. This is the nekama, this is the revenge of Malchus Hashem, of Malchus Shemayim, against the Malchus of Amalek. We need to understand this. Obviously, the entire essence of Mechias Amalek, of destroying Amalek, is contained in this sentence that Shmuel Navi said. That just as that women have been, just as women have been left hopeless and lonely as a result of your sword, so now your mother is going to be left in such a state of loneliness, of emptiness. So there's a chiddush in the Pachad Yitzchak from Rav Hutner Zecher Tzadik Livracha. This is a difficult inyan. Rav Hutner taught that Shmuel HaNavi is revealing here that the nature of Esav and Amalek is to rebel against, to reject the institution of motherhood, of Imahos, the Metzias of a Jewish mother. We have seen in the Torah that Esav, despite all of his faults, we know that Esav was particularly careful when it came to honoring his father. That's clear in Chumash. He went out of his way to honor his father. However, we don't find that he paid any attention at all, nor do we see that he spoke even a word to his mother. Rav Huttner therefore says that since Esav does not relate at all to mother, to motherhood, to that amhus, to the imahos, so as a result of that, and as a result of his opposition to Rivka, that we'll talk about in a second, to his mother, Mimela, since he doesn't have the yichus, he's not connected to his mother, so he's therefore not connected to the whole kedusha of the Jewish people that is built of fathers and mothers. And therefore Shmuel HaNavi is emphasizing this. The moment before he kills the king of Amalek, what he's saying is that just as you rejected or your grandfather rejected his mother and stood opposed to motherhood, so now your mother is going to be rejected as well, is going to lose as well. Now, where do you see this in Chumash? Rivki Imenu said clearly to her husband, Katzti b'chayai b'pnei ben al-ischeis. She said that my life is not worth living. If my children go to marry one of the girls of Canaan, my life is not worth living. Loma lichayim, she said, what's the purpose of my living? And then later on it says in Posik, Vayar Esav kiroz bnos Canaan be'ena Yitzchak oviv, that Esav saw that the girls, the women of Canaan, were not favorable in the eyes of his father. So the diuk is very clear. The opposition to the women of Canaan in the Torah is expressed by Rivki Imenu, by Esav's mother. She's the outspoken antagonist of the women of Canaan. She is the one who says that my life is worthless if my children marry into the world of Canaan. And yet when the Torah tells us that Esav wouldn't marry into Canaan, he did not want to marry into Canaan, because it says, Kiroz bonos bonos Canaan bein Yitzchak aviv. The reason the Torah gives is because the daughters of Canaan were not favorable in the eyes of his father. This is a pella, this is a wondrous thing. It's clear that the honor of his mother was totally meaningless and worthless. He saw right through the whole thing. It didn't mean anything to him. He couldn't care less what his mother thought. It wasn't, even though Rivka was the one who was constantly crying, Rivka is the one who says, I have no purpose in life if my son goes in such a way. Nevertheless, he avoided doing this not to hurt his father. He doesn't express any interest or concern about his mother. Why is this? We need to understand this. What is the meaning of this rejection of motherhood, which is obviously connected to the inyan of the Jewish mother, of the Jewish woman lighting Shabbos candles, and the whole institution of Malchus, which we've been discussing these past few weeks? So it says in Shir Hashirim, the voice of my beloved is coming. I hear the voice of my beloved leaping over mountains, medaleg al haharim, mekapetz al hagvos, and jumping over the hilltops. Kol daydi hinezabo, medaleg al haharim, mekapetz al hagvos. What are the mountaintops and the hilltops? So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that medaleg al haharim, the mountaintops, is b'schus avos, that Hashem is rushing to take us out of Mitzrayim. That's medaleg al haharim, that he's jumping over the mountaintops. The mountaintops, the Gemara says, b'schus avos, that's in the merit of the fathers of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Mekapetz al hagvos, and jumping over the hilltops, that's b'schus Bischusimahos, in the merit of our mothers, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. And we've seen this in a number of places, that mountains correspond to men, to the Avos, to our fathers, and Gevo'os, hilltops, correspond to the Imahos, to the mothers. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon, Deres Eliyahu and Yeshaya, has a sentence that will open up the entire sugya for us. Har, the Gaon writes, a mountain, which corresponds to the men, he says, Har, hu mishupa v'chad. It is extremely steep and it comes to a sharp point. We have to understand the difference between a mountain and a hilltop. A mountain is extremely steep and it comes to a sharp point. Haru mishupa v'chad. Aval giva, and what about a giva? Givaos. Giva, the Goyin says, is rochov umisha. It is, you can walk on top. It has a shetach, it's wide on top. Gevo'os has a hilltop, there's room to walk around. It doesn't come to that steep point. Vizesha Kosov, and the Vilna Gaon says, that is the deeper meaning of Harim Elu Avos, U Gevo'os Elu Imahos, and he leaves us hanging from the mountain. He says, and this is the deeper meaning of the mountains as corresponding to the fathers and the hilltops corresponding to the mothers. Now, what does that mean? We now know in Lashon HaKodesh the difference between Harim and Gevo'os. But why is it that Harim correspond to the fathers and the Gevo'os correspond to the mothers? We still need to investigate. So let's begin. Sfasemis and Pinchas, Tofresh Mem Zayin. V'zeh Inyan Shem Yud Kei. The name of Hashem Yud Hei. K'she'ish v'ish toi b'kedusha. I'm sure all of you have heard this many times at Shever Brachas, and you should hear it in Mitzvah Hashem only on good occasions. And if you're in need of a Shever Brachas, you should quickly have one after the Chasana. That when a husband and wife live together in holiness, Shechina b'nehem, then the name Yud-Heh of Hashem's name, the letters Yud-Keh, dwells amongst them, Ish and Isha. Then you have a Yud and a Heh. V'im lav chasav shalom nishav eish eish. And if God forbid, the Shechina, the divine presence, the letters Yud-Heh, is not in the relationship between a man and a woman. So then we're left with what? God forbid, Aleph Shin and Aleph Shin. Fire and fire. Which means that it becomes unbearable, they destroy each other. The Darshu Chazal B'Shtei Isis Eilu. Now what's the significance of those two letters? That if the Ish and the Isha have the Yud and the Hey, then things are great. Shechina, divine presence, Hashem's name. If the Shechina is missing from their relationship, then we no longer have the Yud and the Hey, and it's fire and fire, Eish, Eish. So Sfasemis writes, this is found in all this form, that the Pasuk says, Ki baka Hashem tzur olamim. Hashem created the two worlds with the letters Yud and Hey. B'yud Chazal say, B'yud olam haba, that Hashem created the coming world, the spiritual dimension of existence, Hashem created with the letter Yud. V'hei, Olam Hazeh. And this physical world was created with the letter Hei. U'mikol makom ba'odom k'si v'ayitzer shtei yitzirs ha'inish v'koyach odom l'hamshich ha'orim olam haba. Man has the unique ability to connect these two worlds. And this takes place in marriage on a very deep level. That man has the ability to draw from the next world, from the coming world, from the Amadis Kasia, from the world that's concealed, from spiritual reality. V'hu koach hazachar, that yud is the koach of the male, specifically connected, it's related specifically to the male. Shemoyshech ha'nisham me'olam ha'elyon, who can draw the soul from the higher world, from olam haba. V'koach ha'isha, and the koach of a woman, which is the letter hey, what is her koach? Ligmur tikun hapu'ula ba'olam hazeh. We've been talking about malchus, so this is not new for any of those who have been here before. that the koach of the woman, that is the letter hey, is to be able to apply the yud, that means the higher realm of the neshama, of the male, and to draw it into the practical day-to-day life that's called malchus, that we've been learning about, to apply that and to connect it to the hay, which is ligmor tikun ha-pu'ula by the mazeh, which is to lead to the actual physical repair of this world. These are the words of the Sfasanas. Now let's understand them. We've spoken in the past about the way the world works is Saif Maiseh B'machshava Tchila. Saif Maiseh B'machshava Tchila means that everything begins, the first thought is the thought of the final Tachlis. The same way when a person is planning to build a house, it begins with that plan, even though you don't see anything, it's invisible, in the mind, in the Olam Haba of who you are. In the hidden part of yourself, there's a final goal, there's a final plan. And the tachlis is then to take that thought, that machshava, and to be able to draw that machshava into the what? Into the lemaisa, into the reality of this world, by going about the business of building a house. At the end of the building, at the completion of the construction, then we have the unification of the yud and the hey. We have the original thought, the plan, which has now been fully revealed, lemaisa, in this world with the construction of the home, in accordance to the first thought, in accordance to that level of thought. The tachlis of this entire world, in other words, the first thought of all existence, is Adam Haba. It's the final end. The end, Mashiach will come, the perfection of all reality. But the beginning, the first thought, is something from the higher world. That's the plan. L'sa'anag al Hashem, to delight in Hashem. That's the plan. And the entire purpose of this world that we've been talking about these past few weeks, Hakol, Shehakol bar l'chvodo, Kala, all that we've been talking about. The purpose of this world is to direct all of my actions to bringing about the revelation of that first thought, to reveal Hashem's presence, which is the first thought, which is the plan of creation, to reveal that lemais in this world, that everything exists for the purpose of serving Hashem. Which is what we've been discussing, is the need of Malchus Hashem, to reveal the Malchus, the kingdom of Hashem in this world. Therefore, in the life of the tzaddik, every single thing that the tzaddik does is to be able to bring about the materialization of the original thought, of the plan. That's all that the tzaddik worries about. How to cause the materialization of the original thought of the plan. According to Chazal, the man, the male, corresponds to the original thought, to the neshama, to the soul. And the isha, that's why Avraham Avinu is called the neshama. And Sarimenu is called the guf, the body, which means that the thought, the plan, the concept is connected to the male quality. Carrying out lemaisa physically in this world, carrying out the plan to bring it to fruition, to cause it to materialize lemaisa in this world, that is connected to Sari Meinu, that's the woman, and we've been talking about this the past few weeks, Mi'iris Einav, that she causes that light to shine in this world. That the man has all the ideas, but how do they become connected lemaisa in this world to Malchus Shemaim, to reveal Malchus Shemaim? It's the koach, the specific koach of the woman, to be mitzi the koach of the man el apoil, to be able to take the thought or the plan or that which is called the olam haba, the spiritual dimension, that's the male dimension, and to draw that into this real physical world. Now we come back to the mountains and hilltops. Since it's the tafkid, since it's the role of the neshama to enter into this physical world and to illuminate the physical world, and that's the tachlis of creation, we understand when the Vilna Gaon says that the definition of a har, of a mountain, is that it comes to a sharp peak, to a point. That's the definition of a mountain. That, of course, means the starting point, the highest peak, the beginning of descent. Even the word chad, which means sharp, is from the word echad, which means one. That's what a point is. A point means the top of the mountain means everything begins with a point. It doesn't have shetach. Area or flatness means multiplicity. It means more. A point means oneness. Therefore, the neshama or the male quality is connected to mountaintops. Midaleg al heharim, leaping over mountains, Chazal say, refers to the avos, the mountaintops of the avos, because that is the starting point of descent. It's the starting point, and it's also the highest peak. From there, everything begins. That means Olam Haba, that means the neshama, the soul, that means where everything's one and clear. The confusion begins as it descends into this world. That is the primary role of the Ovis, of the men, which is the world of Olam Haba, which is Machshava Tchila, which is the neshama. The Imahos, the mothers, Sari Meinu is the guf, which means carrying out the plan, the thought, in this world. We understand that the women, therefore, are connected to the gvaos. Mekapetz ala gvaos, leaping over hilltops. Elu ha'imahos, that refers to our mothers, Sar Rivka Rochel and Leah. A giv'ah, the Vilna Gaon defined for us, that the definition, he told us that a giv'ah means that it has a flat surface. It's a hilltop. You can walk around over there. It's not a point. It's a makabel. It receives. It's a makabel, the shefa that comes from the highest peak, from the point, and then it distributes everything. It has shetach, it has area, it has width, it has breadth. That's a giver. The job of the imahos is to take the shefa, the soulfulness that descends from the man, from the avos, from the beginning, from the peak, from the point, from oneness, from the first thought, and to draw it into reality, lemaise, into the shetach of this world. Therefore, we understand that the yud corresponds to the male, because the yud is a point. That's all it is a point. It's a mountain. The yud, the kudzah shel yud, the yud is itself a mountain. That's all it is. It's a point. It's a peak. Because the yud means, as Chazal say, ki b'ka Hashem, the yud is the letter of olam haba, of the other world, of the world of the neshama, of the soul. The yud has no shetach. The letter yud is the closest you can get to non-existence, to being nothing in this world. It's the most spiritual of all letters. It's just a point. It has no expansiveness in the physical world. It's just a dot. That's all the yud is. It's barely in this world. That's called the mountaintop. That's the peak. That's Olam Haba. On the other hand, the letter He, which corresponds to women, the letter He, of course, has shetach. It has height and length and breadth. It has those dimensions. Specifically, the letter He is composed of the letter Dalid with the Yud inside of it. Dalid always indicates this world, because this world is described as consisting of four basic directions. Therefore, The letter Hey has a Dalet, Arba Kanfos Aris, four extremes. It means a hilltop. It has north, south, east, and west, because the job of the woman is to draw from that peak of the neshama and to be able to take it lemaisa, and how the children get dressed, and what the house is going to be like. It has the expansiveness in this world to apply it to reality. Therefore, the woman is connected to the letter Hey, which is Olam Hazeh, which contains within it the Dalid, which means expansiveness and separation, with the Yud in it. The Dalid with a little Yud at the foot. And that Yud means the amazing ability of the woman to take the highest thought from the peak, from the mountain peak, from the point of oneness, from the neshama, from Olam Haba, from that male quality of the others, to take that Yud and to be able to translate that into the world of Dalet, to combine it with the world of Dalet, which means separation, which means this world, which could be a world, God forbid, of confusion, which is a world of confusion and separation. This is the meaning of Giv'ah. This is the meaning of the letters Yud and He. The Yud is the male, and the He is the woman, as it's taught in the writings of the Maharal in many places. Therefore, the word in Hebrew for the hilltop, which is feminine, is Giv'ah. Giv'ah, the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us, comes from the word Gaviyah. Gaviyah, as you know from the story of Yosef HaTzadik and his brothers, means what? A cup, a goblet, is a Gaviyah. Because the Indian of the Gaviyah, its entire purpose is to receive. That's the Indian of a cup. The Gaviyah is the Lashon of Giver, which means to receive the bracha within it. Because in this world of separation, the woman has the unique ability to receive that ha'ara, that illumination from the what? From the chad, from the point of oneness. And to be able to translate that into this world, into serving Hashem, into Malchus, which is Kala, which is Hakol, to reveal Kavod Shemayim, to reveal the letter Yud within the world of the Dalet. This also is a teaching that's found in the Svarim, that the word Gaviyah, which is the cup or the receptacle, corresponds itself. The Gimel is the three Avos. The Yud Beis are the 12 Shvatim, and the Ayin are the 70 nations of the world. That it's through this koach that the woman is able to draw the blessing, the brach of Hashem, of Olam Haba, into every aspect of creation. Gimel, the Avos, Yud Beis are the children, and Ayin means the nations of the world. The entire world can be transformed, can be fixed, can be changed. Now here's where we begin to understand the danger of Amalek. This is where Amalek comes in. Amalek is not just some extinct tribe or nation. Amalek is a koach that exists. It's a koach that exists now. And we need to understand what it is. Amalek has no power over a Yid, over the Yud. Amalek's strength cannot overtake the pnimius, the inner will and desire of a Jew. The deepest rotzen of a Jew cannot be conquered by Amalek. Olam Haba is beyond the reach. That peak of the mountain is beyond Amalek's reach. That's the inner essence of a Jew. Amalek can't come to that point. So what's the koach of Esav? Where's the koach of Amalek? Esav itself, as the Vilna Gaon says in many places, is from the Lashon of Asiya, which means to actually carry something out. The koach of Esav is in the Olam HaAsiya. The power of Esav is in this physical world, Lemaisa. According to Chazal, the koach of Amalek is Yodeya Esri Bono Umiskaven Limrodbo. That Esav acknowledges the presence of God. but rebels against Hashem. Acknowledges his presence and rebels. Because this is the tumah of Amalek. Ki yad al keis ka. The hand of Amalek is attempting to disrupt a flow from the between that carries the letter Yud into the world of the Hay. Ki yad al keis Yud Hay. That Amalek is attempting to disrupt the connection between the world of the Yud, that which I know to be true, that which is in the Olam Haba of who I am, the deepest truth. Amalek will allow me to know that. Amalek will allow me to believe in it. What Amalek cannot tolerate is taking the Neshama, taking Olam Haba, taking the Yud, and drawing it into this world, and applying it l'maisa, to feel the care, and to change my life based upon it. There are many, many mamorim and chassidus on this subject, about how there's a koach of Amalek, there's a certain koach that Amalek has, to allow a Jew to learn svarim, and to study things on a deep level, and to have an unbelievable awareness of godliness. But it doesn't change him one drop. He'll read all the svarim, he'll give beautiful speeches, and he'll talk, and he'll tell this, and he'll say that, and he'll go and be makar of people. All the good stuff. There's only one problem. The one problem is that lemaisa, he's totally unchanged. He's cold. Asher korach, he remains frozen. This is the koach, this is the power of Amalek. Amalek is always seeking to prevent the higher machshava. Amalek will allow you to have the most profound thoughts, but Amalek will not allow those thoughts to descend from the peak of Olam Haba and reach down to the hilltops of this world and to flow down the maise into how I live and how I feel and what I do. This is the koach of Amalek, to rebel against Malchus Hashem. Because Malchus Hashem, Rabbi, I'm not in a classroom here. If someone doesn't want to learn, I'm not going to discipline. That's for little children. I'm sorry. No. The whole union of Malchus is revealing Lemaise in this world, that Olam Haba, that high dimension of reality. Therefore, Reishis Goyim Amalek. Amalek is that nation that fights specifically against the mothers. We come back to the beginning. Shmuel Hanavi says, you didn't care about your mother. Now your mothers are going to be rejected. Now your mother will be rejected. Esav was able to respect his father because Esav loves beautiful deep concepts and to philosophize. That's fine. But Lemaisa, when it comes down to reality, Esav is Mekalkel, destroys and corrupts all that his hands touch. Therefore, Amalek despises the institution of motherhood, despises Malchus, despises Lemaisa, despises Shabbos candles, will not allow the light of Shabbos to penetrate into this world, which is Malchus. Therefore, it's an amazing thing. According to the Ari HaKadosh, the miracle of Purim, the whole Yontiv of Purim, is a nes that comes misitra de nukva, which means it comes from the side that is feminine. Therefore, the one who brought about, the one who primarily, Lemaise, brought about the miracle, was able to draw the miracle into this world, was a woman. It was Esther Malka. She was the one who was able to draw the miracle into reality. And the whole nes of Purim is called the nes that comes misitra de nukva, from the feminine side. That it caused the light to shine, Lemaise, in this physical world. In the darkness of Shushan, in the darkness of Galus, where you don't see the oneness of Hashem, where the mountain peak is way beyond your reach, that Esther Malka was able to take Kavod Shemayim, the presence of Hashem, and to bring it into the palace of Ahasuerus, bring it into that darkness of the world of Ahasuerus, to cause it to be a light in that place of darkness. That comes from the Gvaos, the hilltops, and the hilltops are the imos of the mothers. Therefore, the Nitzachon over Amalek takes place in such a way, through a woman, and by Shmuel Hanavi reminding Agag, the king of Amalek, that you sought to destroy women in this world, to destroy you. You rejected your grandfather Esav, rejected Rivka Imenu, and now your mother is going to be without children. And therefore, the days of Purim, as it says in the Megillah, the days are Nizkarim V'Nasim. Nizkarim, the word Lizkar, Nizkarim, it's a very spiritual thing, memory. Memory is something that is in the realm of Olam Haba, to remember. And it's from the word Zachar, which means a male. But Nizkarim V'Nasim, Asiya is feminine. The days of Purim are Nizkarim V'Nasim. That's the joining together of the two worlds of the Yud and the Hay. Nizkarim V'Nasim. Now we can understand something which is really amazing. The first war that the Jewish people had with Amalek. The first war with Amalek. Moshe v'Aaron v'chur olu rosh hagiv'ah. And Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron and Chur went to the top of the hill. The Muhammad took place in such a way from the hilltop where Moshe Rabbeinu stood on the hilltop. We already learned that the whole lineage of Givaos, of Giv'ah, means the Imahos, means the mothers, which means the Olam HaAsiyah. Amalek is fighting against the connection of the world above with the world below. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, who comes from the house of Leah, in the side of the woman, Leah is most connected to Machshava. She is the Alma Diskasi, the concealed world. Leah Imenu is on the higher realm that is connecting between the physical world of Rachel and the spiritual world of the Avos. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, who comes from Leah, which means Machshava thought, is standing above on the hilltop, on the Giv'ah. And Yehoshua, who's in the house of Rachel, is fighting in the actual war, the battle down below. In this world, the actual fight is taking place, led by Yehoshua, who comes from the world of Rachel, which means the Alma Dizgalia, the revealed world of Lamaisa, Malchus Sheba Malchus, Mashiach ben Yosef. This is already alluded to in the Nevuah of Bilam, in the prophecy of Bilam. Kimerois Surim Erenu. I see them from the mountaintops. Umigvoos Ashurenu. And from the hilltops. Chazal say in the Yalkut, Kimeros Surim, what does it mean that the Jew, that from, what does it mean from the mountain peaks? Elu Ha'avis, it means the fathers. Umigvoos Ashurenu, and from the hilltops, Elu Ha'imohos. It's interesting. Umigvoos, Kimeros Surim Erenu, which means to see. The fathers is seeing. Seeing means from the top of the mountain. But then, when we come to the mothers, it says in the Pasuk, Umigvos Ashurenu. Ashurenu also means to see. But the word in Hebrew, Ashurenu, is a much clearer way of seeing, and it actually means to validate or to confirm. It means something which is official. Therefore, a shtar is called Ashroi. An ishur, which means to validate something. To validate means lemaisa. So meros sur merenu, that the world of the Ovis is from the mountain peak, to see everything clearly. But that alone cannot change the world. The second part is umigvos ashurenu, that only from the gvos, that means through the imahos, which is the letter hey, Ashurenu, can there be a validation, a confirmation, lemaisa, like a star, which means a legally binding document that can be applied. an ishur, ashroi, which means something which is validated, absolutely clear. That can only take place through the Kedusha, through the holiness of the imaos of the mothers. Soif ma'isi b'makshava t'chila. And in this way, with the husband and wife, there could be a connection of the ish and the isha, of the yud and of the hay. Migvos ashuranu. And this is the inyan of Hada kibluha b'me'ach ha-shveirish. Hada kibluha b'me'ach ha-shveirish. That ultimately the Jewish people completely accepted the Torah only in the days of Ahasuerus. When we were at the mountaintop of Sinai, it was theoretical. It was a good idea. Of Hada Kibluha b'mei Ahasuerus, but the actual Lamaisa Kabbalah took place in the days of Purim through Esther Malka. And you know that according to the Rishonim, that's referring to the light of Torah Shebaal Peh, of the oral Torah. That means all of the details of Torah in this world, Lamaisa, which we spoke about last week, the Torah Shebaal Peh 2 weeks ago. The Torah Shebaal Peh means Malchus, applying the concepts Lamaisa. The Torah Shebichsav corresponds to the men. Shema Bani Musar Avicha, the mountain peak, the point, Olam Haba, Torah Shebichsav, the concept, the idea. A yud, a point. It's not clear. We don't understand how to work with this Torah. Shema b'ni musar avicha is Torah shebichsav. Ba'al titosh Torah simecha. And don't neglect the Torah of the mothers. And Chazal say in Torah simecha that that's referring to Torah shebaal peh, to the oral Torah. That's the Torah of the mothers. Because the oral Torah means... The Torah Shebaal Peh means Lamaise, means Malchus, Torah Shebaal Peh Karinin Lo. That's what we spoke about. How do I apply the light of the letter Yud, of Torah Shebichsav, of the Ovis, of the male quality of the Yud, Lamaise, in the world of the Hay, of this world? And now we understand something even more. That the Arizal taught, Kitzayid Befiv, by Esav it says, Kitzayid Befiv, that the game that he was hunting was in his mouth. In his mouth, the Arizal said, Haina Torah Shebaal Peh, that Esav could have had the most amazing power to teach Torah Shebaal Peh, because Esav's name means Lamaisa. And Esav, therefore, hated mothers, he hated the women. Why? Because he was supposed to perfect that world of what, of Lamaisa. He had the ability of Esav Kitzayid Befiv. And Befiv means Torah Shebaal Peh, which is Malchus. And Esav could have therefore been in charge of what, of that feminine quality of drawing everything into Lamaisa in this world, Kitzayid Befiv, as we spoke about in the parashas of Bereishis, of hunting in this world, Mamish, hunting for holiness in this physical world. That's the job of Esav. It could have been. Therefore, the Arizal taught, we know from Chazal, that ultimately the neshama of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir was a descendant of Esav, because Rabbi Meir came from Nero and Kesar. So Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Nahoroi, who's the light of what? Of Torah Shebaal Peh, Rabbi Meir, who means the Shabbos candle, who means Torah Shebaal Peh Lamaisa. His neshama came from the world of Esav. His neshama was the rectified world of Esav. Whereas Esav means a separation between the highest thought and Lamaisa. Esav acknowledges the highest peak of the Machshava Olam Haba, but cannot carry out into this world. In this world, Esav destroys everything. Hakol Kol Yaakov means the voices, the voice of Yaakov, that means the Neshama, that means the fathers. And the Yadayim, the hands, are the hands of Esav. And Esav means the hands because it means Lamaisa. But instead of Esav drawing the Torah Shebichsav into Torah Shebaal Peh, instead of Esav drawing the Yud into the Hay, instead of Esav honoring and respecting his mother and connecting the two worlds of what? Of the Ish and the Isha, Esav used his Yadayim, his hands, to destroy this world, to fight against any holiness from coming into this world. And he has an amazing power over this world. That's the power of Esav, of Rome, of Western civilization, of New York, of London and Paris. In that world, Esav is king.
Memeil is v'simcha, there's joy in Sos and v'yikar.
So on Shabbos, which is the Inyan of Zarchas, Yom Shabbos Lekadsha. Remembering. Shabbos is to remember. And remembering means to take something that could have been forgotten, to take something from Olam Haba, and to remember to apply it in Olam Hazeh, in this world. So, therefore, the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek is Zochas Yom HaShabbos LeKadosho, Zochas Asher Asah Lecha Amalek, to remember what Amalek did to us. And we can remember that dafka on Shabbos, as it says in Pasuk, V'ahaya Beiniach Hashem Elokecha Lecha, that Hashem will give you rest from all of your enemies. And the Sfarim say that Hashem will give you rest, it means on the day of rest, which means Shabbos. On the day of rest, which is the day of Malchus, when there's shalom bias between a husband and wife, when the Shabbos candle is lit and a person can see the purpose of his life, why does he work for 6 days? In order to remember the tachlis, which is soif maisim machshava tchil, which is to bring the light of Hashem lemais into this world with the husband and wife joining together in shalom bias. So on Shabbos, a person is able to remember the danger of Amalek and how Amalek needs to be eradicated. Because when a Jew remembers, then he's standing at Har Sinai. Chazal say that when we receive the Torah at Har Sinai, on that highest level, we never would have forgotten anything. There would never be forgetfulness. Because in that clarity of the connection between the world above and this world, there can't be any forgetting. There can't be forgetting. Forgetting is the result of a separation between the mind and the heart, between the mind and Lemaisa in this world, between the world above and this world. Between the Soif Maisei and the Machshav Etchila. In other words, there's a plan, but it's never remembered. It doesn't carry through. That's what forgetting means. It means it was once there and no longer is. Nothing came of it. It's forgotten. Amalek is the power to cause a Jew to forget. And Shabbos is the ability to remember. So therefore, Shabbos Zohar means to remember. And remembering gives the person the ability of what? Zohar says, Shabbos Olucha Amalek, to eradicate Amalek, V'hoye B'niach Hashem Lekech, on the day of rest, on the day of Sholem, when there's peace between the Sham and the group, between the soul and the body. And these are the words of the Sfasemes. V'ik Peiris Zechirat. The deeper meaning of remembering. What's zechira? Hupnimis achiyis mokim shein sham shicha. It's when you enter into the deepest realm where there is no forgetfulness. When you love something with all of your heart, when it's connected to you in every way, you don't forget it. You can't forget. Mizel mechiyas amalek. And this means to erase amalek. Shlolas shum dover derech haroi. That when a Jew does something, the Sfasema says, he shouldn't do it in a cold way, without connecting, as something which is detached. Esav does things in the physical world without those things being connected to anything spiritual. Sfasema says that that's the coldness of Amalek. And the warmth of a Jew is remembering. And remembering means that Hakol Kol Yaakov Ayidai Mida Esav, it means that whatever a Jew does, it comes from the warmth of who he is. It comes from that remembering the essence. This is found in the Maimer, and a Maimer from the Friedrich Lubavitcher Rebbe. There's a whole Maimer in this Inyan of the coldness of Amalek, where he writes in Tofresh Pei Zayin, Hein Betzem Ahesk Mein Masha Ein Meniach She'inyan Eloki Yifal Alav, that Amalek does not allow you to become excited by godliness. U'bechlal Zeh Gam Kein Hu Inyan HaKrius, it means coldness. Demisha Hu Kar B'Tivo, somebody who is by nature a cold person, Asher Korcha, Einim Espol Mishum Dover, nothing excites him. Nothing animates the cold person. V'sibas akrirus u'miklipas amalek. And all coldness comes from amalek. Ashekorach abaderach. That made you cold along the way. V'ayinishim akarer kol inyan eluki. That amalek has the ability to cool off anything that's godly. When something comes fresh from its source, it's hot. It's warm. Right out of the oven. Amalek doesn't allow you to taste his neshama from the oven. It's only if it's stale and cold. That's how Amalek allows you to taste of your Yiddishkeit. You do what you have to. You put on tefillin, you daven. but it's already cold and stale, it's lifeless, that's a malik. Therefore, the nitzach and the victory on Purim over Amalek is celebrated with the Jews saying L'chaim. L'chaim. Because in that one word, L'chaim, you could afterwards say L'chaim Tovim L'Shalom or L'chaim L'Bracha, whatever. There's a very beginning to respond with more. When someone gives you, give even more back. But on Purim, when a person is able to lift a cup of wine and to say L'chaim, and to say L'chaim, it means that it's not enough just to want, it's not enough just to think, it's not enough just to hypothetically be a Jew. It's not enough just to have a Yud inside of you. But L'chaim means that my biggest feel in the world is that there should be a connection here between the Yud and the Hay. That there should be a connection between Achalson and Kal, between Mashiach ben Dov and Mashiach ben Yosef, between what's above and what's below. So let me read to you something that a friend of mine, one of the Chevron in the Shul gave me today. He gave me this morning that I figured it must have been Ashkocha Pratis that he gave me such a sweet thing. So I want to share it with you. It takes a second. You know, there were some very big tzaddikim who lived through Gehenim in Russia. One of those tzaddikim was Rav Mendel Furtefas. Some of you might have heard of him. Rav Mendel was a mashpia in Chabad. He was in Russia for many, many, many years. He lived through terrible tsaras in Siberia. Eventually came to Eretz Yisrael. He was a yid at tzaddik. He wasn't known as a Talmud Chacham. I mean, he knew how to learn, but he was a tzaddik, a fiery tzaddik. And even when he came here, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he was in America a few times also, to go up to 770, but when he left Russia, he still wore the same cap and the same boots. And I was able to see him on two occasions. He was a Meridiki yid. He was a very, very proud and strong person. So somebody gave this to me today that after he came out, somebody interviewed him, Reb Mendel, the tzaddik. What was it like in the Soviet labor camps? So listen to what Reb Mendel said. They were days of light. Well, are you speaking euphemistically? No, I mean it simply. I'm sure he didn't say that to Reb Mendel euphemistic because he never heard that word. This is, of course, all in Yiddish. But he says, no, I mean it simply. Those were the most inspiring days of my life. How so? Throughout my life, I always felt a battle between the material and the spiritual. In the labor camps, there was no battle. My life was all spiritual. All I had to do was learn Torah and Daven. I don't understand. You didn't have to work? Of course we had to work. In one camp, my job was to care for a herd of pigs. I had to begin at 4 a.m. and did not finish until 6 p.m. In the winter, it was so cold that once the straps of my tefillin froze. When I began to unwind them, they cracked. It was hard and crushing work, but only physically. My soul was free. There was nothing holding me back. All my energy could be focused on davening and learning. So he says here, the interviewer says, I assumed that Reb Mendel knew the davening by heart. But what about the Torah? Reb Mendel was not known as the kind of sage who had committed volumes of Talmud to memory. He wasn't known to be a person that knew by heart, you know, Gemaras and so on. Did you have books with you? You had Svarim with you? Books? The Russians would allow me Jewish texts to study from? What are you talking? You think I had any Svarim with me in Siberia? And then how could you learn? So listen to this rabbi say. How did I study? I would picture the cheder I attended. This is remembering. This is what it means to remember. I would picture the cheder I attended when I was a child. I would sit in the third row. I remember the table at which I would sit, the books that were placed on it. To my right sat my friend Beryl, and to my left my friend Zalman. Yossel sat in front of me. I remembered their faces, the games we would play, the secrets we would tell each other. And I remembered the Melamed, tall, with stern eyes, but with a warm and loving smile. I would picture him and the classroom in my mind. The scene was so vivid that I could actually hear the Melamed speaking. Schneimer, the Metal is the mission at the beginning of Bava Metzia. If two people are holding onto a garment, one of them says it's entirely mine, kulishly, I would listen and concentrate to record his words in my mind. Soon he had taught me a page of Gemara. I then shut off the picture of the cheder and began to review the page that I had just learned. After a time, it was committed to memory. Then I returned to the Cheder to learn another page of Gemara. In this way, I learned many chapters of Gemara and a good portion of Tanya. That's what he says. That's a Jew. That's a Yid. What a Yid. What an unbelievable person. And he called these days of life, La Yehudim Haisa'ara, the most spiritual time in my life. The most spiritual time, because in that darkness of the Shushan that he was in, that he made that connection between the Yud and the Hay, and he remembered, and he was picturing his Cheder and his Rebbe, and he was able to take one page from the Gemara, another blot from the Gemara, and then go back to the Cheder, and draw again. Amalek is against those memories. Amalek is against those. You could think about it, but you're not going to be able to come down and bring it from the dream or from the vision, and to help you get through the day. This tzaddik is telling us how he survived Siberia, and it's the story of how the Jewish people have survived all their Siberias, and we have, thank God, much better right now. But we're also living through a time of unbelievable coldness. So may HaKadosh Baruch Hu help us, that we should remember, and we should understand that the greatest way to fight against Amalek is with a warm smile, with a warm heart, with a little bit of mashke, and to make a l'chaim, and l'chaim. I wish every one of you a freilich and purim, a simchas yontiv. So next Wednesday night, it's Motzei Shushan Purim. I don't see why, unless there's anybody that has some custom not to, because we should be able to learn. You know, nowadays it's hard, they give the kids off from school, like Yisru Chag, it's another thing, but Mr. Shem, we'll learn next Wednesday night. Kalter.